from WNYC New York Public Radio. This is the podcast of The Leonard Lopate Show. This is just one segment of the program. You can hear all Leonard's interviews on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
When my next guest was last here, it was to talk about his movie Shaolin Soccer. I think it was one of the only interviews he did in New York, and we were never sure when we were able to air it because the opening date of the film kept being pushed back maybe four or five times. Much has changed since then. Stephen Chow's latest movie, Kung Fu Hustle, has already gotten a lot of publicity. It's been shown at Sundance, and it was named Best Film among five other awards at the recent Hong Kong Film Awards. It opens in New York today, and I'm very pleased it has brought Stephen Chow back to WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. When you were last here, were you already planning what you would do in this film, Kung Fu Hustle?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, we talked the last time about how you'd been known mostly for your comedies, and then you made a martial arts film. This is the second martial arts film. So what's happened? Had you always wanted to make one?
But I think it should be the first martial arts film for me, The Kung Fu Hustle. But the last one, the soccer movie, I would say I treat it as a sport movie more than a martial arts movie because it's like a combination with the sport and kung fu. So, but there's no comeback. I mean, the fighting with a lot of punching and kicking at that point.
People being hit by soccer balls. Yeah. But it was all, in all cases, they're comedies. And I wonder about martial arts films. You say you love them. What's taking you so long to make one? Had you always wanted to make them? Had you just gotten sidetracked into those early comedies?
No, I always wanted to make ones because, you know, I'm such a big fan of martial art and also all kind of kung fu film. So it's like my dream to be able to make a kung fu film, and now my dream has come true.
And not only has it come true, but Kung Fu Hustle, I understand, is the biggest grossing film in Hong Kong history. So now you've done better than Jackie Chan.
Only in Hong Kong.
Oh,
and
really?
Also mainland China, and also Taiwan, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, Korea.
That's I see.
Exactly.
But you're not competitive. The movie is very funny. The scene where you're getting stabbed gets funnier and funnier as we go along. Maybe people won't think stabbing is funny, but it really is. And partly because it's so exaggerated, don't you think? Once wouldn't be funny. And it's almost like a cartoon at times, like an animated cartoon. Was that the idea, to make an animated cartoon using real people?
Yes, some of the idea is from the cartoon, like the Roadrunner.
You have a scene in which these people are running down the road incredibly fast, just like in a Roadrunner film. Then one of them winds up
plastered. Not in real life.
She winds up plastered on a billboard and slides down just like...
Yeah, yes.
Wile E. T. Coyote might have had that happen to him.
Right. So, yeah, because I grew up with this cartoon and... So that's why. But actually, the idea came up in the last second when I shoot this sequence, like the landlady chasing after me. And it's not originally on the script. But all in a sudden that I thought about, hey, what about the role? And I just talked to my team and the CGI people, and have you seen the Roadrunner? And when they run really fast, and the leg, you know, become like a wheel, and after a lot of consideration, then we decide to go for this idea.
So this was a spur of the moment thing. It looks like it had to have been planned out for months because it's so complicated. When you're doing a cartoon, you draw all of those things, but you have real people.
Yes, it's a complicated work. Yeah, with Once the CGI involved, and it makes things more difficult and more people involved and more complicated. Yeah.
And part of the fun is making it not look like it's CGI. Mm. Because if it looks like it's something that was done from computer generated effects, right, then it's not as funny.
Yeah, so it's look like real, actually is CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you doing the same sorts of things you might do if you were in Hollywood? Does Hong Kong allow you all of those special effects?
Of course. It's a matter of time and the financial support. I mean, because it needs a lot of money to do such work. In this case, because we Columbia Pictures as a partner with my company, so everything going smooth and fine. Yeah.
You had American money, the more money than you might have had if you had just made this film straight out of Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's the biggest budget I ever had.
You also had Yuen Wao-ping, known to Americans for his work in The Matrix and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes. He is very experienced. Not only a choreographer, but also an action director.
And what was it like working with him? How did you work out those big fight scenes?
Well, first of all, I tried... try to bring up the idea, and then I talk to him, like brainstorming, and then we go to the set and, you know, make a rehearsal practically.
Because the choreography is so complicated. It's almost like learning how to dance.
Yes, you need to learn how to dance, yeah. And I'm a good dancer. Yeah.
Are you?
Well, no, just a joke.
Well, it could be. Yeah. You bring back a character you have been playing in a different way here, the underdog. Does that grow out of old comedy, people like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin? Is there a Chinese tradition of that kind of character?
I think it's also a Chinese tradition of this kind of character. Like from the underdog become a hero. Yeah, it's quite common in old Hong Kong martial art novel or movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, you didn't give yourself the biggest part. You're the writer, you're the director. The least you could have done is given yourself the most screen time.
I think it all depends on different story that you have a different proportion to play the role. So in this case, that because there is a lot of different character in this movie. So I'm the one of them. So comparatively, I have less proportion than before, yes.
Do you also think of yourself more as a director than an actor? One of your producers, Jeff Lau, said that you've always been a director playing an actor.
Yes. Actually, Jeff Lau is one of my best friend and also inspired me a lot in the directing perspective. I mean, I still remember one of the movies that we worked together that I was keep asking him about some strange question, like why the camera should be here and why it moved like this and why the background, the color of the background, it should be blue or yellow, you know. But that's what he suggested me to. Why don't you just go for the directing job, because it's something beyond an actor, beyond the acting. It's actually something about directing. So he suggests me, you know, try to be a director. And I think he gave me a book, is a directing book, you know, as a gift. And I still keep the book right now. You know.
Directing for Dummies.
Yeah.
You first, that was 10, that was 10 years ago. Was it the first film you directed, God of Cookery?
Is it 10 years ago?
Yeah, something like that, isn't it? Is it any easier now? You keep on making the films harder and harder to make, so is it always just as difficult now that you set so many more challenges for yourself?
I think I won't say it's more easy for me because when I go deeper and then I find out it's a lot more that I need to learn. So actually for me it's more difficult and right now. Yeah.
Well, what you're doing right now is the same sort of thing that we're seeing from people like Quentin Tarantino. In fact, he's one of your big fans, isn't he?
I'm one of his big fans.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
In this film, you also use a lot of actors that American audiences won't necessarily know, but who were very famous in Hong Kong movies in the past. A couple of them actually came out of retirement, isn't that true?
Oh, yeah. Like the landlady. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the actress who played the landlady.
Yuan Qi?
Yeah, her name is Yun Tao. Yun Tao.
Yun Tao.
Yes. Another one is...
Did you have to just... After all, she had retired. Did you have to convince her to come out of retirement?
Yes.
But she seems to be having so much fun.
Yes, I think so. It's an easy job to convince them because they all love movie. And but it takes time, of course, because she is actually like a grandmother right now with two grandsons and playing mahjong all day long, and you know, it's a beautiful life.
Made some big films
that she have right now, and now you're talking about bring her back to the film business and do a lot of stunt and wire work, and you know, this is quite it's tough for her. But no problem because you know, she moved by my sincerity.
So that's how you convince them to do it. You just are very sincere, and yeah. People say, okay, so I'll put my life on the line, do all this, these exactly. difficult things, even
exactly.
though I could stay home and play mahjong.
Exactly.
Who else? You also have Yung Shi Lung, is it?
Yeah.
Who plays the Beast?
Yeah, the Beast.
He's an old-timer, isn't he?
The old-time big kung fu star, I think. And mm-hmm. I'm... of course, he's my idol as well.
You watched his films when you were growing up?
Yes. After Bruce Lee, you know, there was a lot of Bruce Lai and Bruce Chen and Bruce Chow came up in the sudden, you know, and a lot of them, you know, tried to imitate the image of Bruce Lee at that time, and I think he is the one of them. But actually, he was so different from the other because he is someone with the real kung fu technique. He is a real master. And so that's why when I thought about the role of the Beast, and then I thought about him, and I invite him to come to my office and do the casting. Actually, he came to my office with a wig at that time, with a wig, you know. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if he can take it off, and he took it off, and that's the image that I want, I really want.
He thought you want him to look younger, and yeah. So he put on the wig. He
yes.
Toupee, he didn't need it. At the Hong Kong Awards, Yuen Hua, who played the landlord in Kung Fu Hustle, won the Best Supporting Actor. He got very emotional. He had been in a lot of Bruce Lee movies, hadn't he?
Yeah, and a lot of kung fu movie without Bruce Lee. Yeah.
So you brought a lot of people out of retirement or brought them back into the public eye. Mm. You set the film in pre-revolutionary China. Why then?
Because it's sometime between the modern time and the ancient day is... is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And
close enough so that we can recognize what's going on, but far enough in the past so that it's not like what's happening in China today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You said it in a neighborhood called Pigsty. This is a poor area with too many people and lots of old shops. Is that something you invented, or did you know a place like that?
Actually, that's what I stay in, what I was living when I was a kid. Yeah,
Where was that? Not in Hong Kong.
Yeah, somewhere in Hong Kong. It is quite similar with the pigsty, like a building that with a lot of people living in. You know, like you have a lot of labor, different unit, but each one is, you know, really, really small. And
you lived in small places, small apartments. This is at the isn't Hong Kong a city that's kind of like the higher you go up, the richer you are? So this had to be down at the bottom, right?
Yes. But what I'm talking about is around 1970s in Hong Kong, yeah.
You're one of those people who really grew up very poor but then went on to great success. First as an actor? Is that how you started your career?
Yeah, actually I started my career as a host in a program, a children program.
On television?
In television, yes.
But always being funny?
Not that funny. I was not allowed to be funny at the children program because got to be very positive. And so it's a normal children program, I would say.
Would you have preferred to have this film dubbed into English? Because even though this is the kind of movie that I'm sure will be very popular with a lot of Americans, at the same time, there are some people who just have a hard time reading the subtitles.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately.
Oh.
Because there is so much physical comedy, on some levels, this movie works almost like a silent film.
You sure? But there's a lot of lines as well. And yes, what I'm trying to say is in this film that because, of course, it, because of subject matter, kung fu, so it's a lot of action. But at the same time, if I can reduce the slang and the sly and replace it by a kind of action, or it's like if I can present my idea with action or anything visualized, I would go for the first one because it is more easy to be understood by the different people, different audience in the world.
And movies are visual.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's probably better not to have people say things if you can get it across just through what's happening on the screen, what we see. Are you going to make more martial arts-based movies in the future?
I don't mind. Yes, of course. Because I think is something I really like. And but
do you do it
I
yourself?
I hope not only limited in martial art kind of thing. You know, yeah.
Well, you look like you know what you're doing when you finally pull out all your tricks. Mm. Do you practice martial arts on the side?
Yes, sometime.
Mm-hmm. When you're not directing and
yeah,
writing.
Yeah, well, I'm not directing.
And acting,
yeah.
Is there another movie in the works?
Maybe the Kung Fu Hustle sequel.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, you can see Kung Fu Hustle, the most successful Hong Kong film in history, the biggest grossing, at least in Asia, written and directed and starring Stephen Chow, with a cast of characters all quite wonderful, but with names that I'm not going to try to pronounce. It's been a great pleasure having you back on this show, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out today's podcast of The Leonard LoPage Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.